As Christians, we give ourselves to the Lord. As believers, when we accept Christ, we're not just attaching something to our lives, we're actually taking our lives and saying, Jesus, I want you to have my life, take my life, use my life. And God wants to use every single one, every single person in this room. You specifically, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And for maybe some of us, or maybe most of us, we're like, Lord, what is that plan for my life? What is that purpose? What is it you have for me? What does the future hold for me in my life? Or maybe you're one of those people, you know exactly what God has you called to do, and you're doing it, or you're preparing to do it. There's no better place to be than doing the will of God in the time that you have on this earth. In a journal, the entry is October 28th, 1949. It expresses this man's belief that work dedicated to Jesus was more important, listen, than to life itself, than to life itself. I think that next slide is just a quote. I wanted to put that up here. This is what it says in his journal. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that's what he cannot lose. Again, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Jim Elliot, a very famous missionary who gave his life and four other lives to the mission work. And he got to a place in his life. He got to his place in his walk with the Lord to say, Lord, I'm giving you my life so that I can live a life that's filled. And I just love this saying. It's really a statement from Jesus when he said, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. And maybe for some of you in this room, you've experienced the abundant life of being a Christian, the peace that God gives to us. The life that he has given to you since you believed in him has been rich. And we see people in the world that are striving to save their life, to keep their life, to keep their stuff. It's such a waste, isn't it? But when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, then our life is full. And it's vibrant. I ask you this morning, have you lost your life? Not have you lost your mind. Have you lost your life to Jesus? And when we surrender, listen, we call it surrendering our life to Christ. Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he calling the shots? Oh, I hope everyone in this room says, yes, I've given my life to Christ. Now, there's always degrees of that. I give him most of my life. Question is, are we giving it all to him? Are we giving it all to him? See, what we're going to see in Revelation chapter 6 is a group of people that gave everything to the very end, following to almost the letter what Jesus did for them. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for them. He died for us. Are we going to die for him? Are we going to give our lives for the Lord? Now, we may not die for our faith, but we should die to ourselves every single day, right? Die to ourselves. It's a hard thing to do, isn't it? To die to ourselves every single day. Sometimes we get it right? But sometimes we don't. Look with me, Revelation chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 9, 10, 11. Read with me. It says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. Pause right there and give me your attention. The first thing I want to say about this fifth seal, it's an amazing idea. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? Of the seals that are being broken by Jesus, remember the first one was what? It was a white horse. We talked about it last week, Antichrist. The next one, red horse, was about war. The next one, a black horse, famine. The final one, a pale horse, death, okay? Antichrist, war, famine, death. The sixth seal, martyrs. Martyrs who had given their life to God and had surrendered their very lives, their very existence to their faith. And I'm sorry, it absolutely amazes me that God would take time and say, on the sixth seal, I'm gonna make a special pay special attention to those who have died for the fifth seal. Did I say six? Twice? I said it twice. I love my little helpers over here. Fifth seal. The fifth seal speaks of those who died for their faith. Let me ask you. If you had to deny your faith to save your life, would you? Would you die for Jesus if someone held a gun to your head and said, deny your Savior or I'm pulling the trigger? Could you do it? I'm hearing some yeses. Can you say with an emphatic with me, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Question is, would we? In the heat of the moment, listen, we all can think, oh, yes, Lord, I love you so much. I would die for you. I don't care what they do. I'm going to die for you because I want to be written in the book to be one of those martyrs. I mean, there is no greater sacrifice to make for your Savior than your very life. I mean, we should die to ourselves every day, yes. And so in some senses, we're being sacrifices for God. But to literally take our very lives, would we do it? And I've heard stories and read about stories of people that watched their whole family die unless they denied Christ, and they wouldn't. How hard is that? It's probably easier to say, kill me, don't kill my kid. Maybe that's it. If someone was holding a gun to your child's head and said, deny Christ, or they're gone. I don't know about you, but that just made my blood start to go up. It's like, to kill something I love? My friends, that's what God did. God allowed his son to die for the sins that we commit. And I would pray that we would be those people to say, God, I want to deny myself every single day for you. I want to live every single day to the fullest for you. And I want to be that person that's confident enough to know that when my eyes close on earth, they're going to open in heaven. Confident. Take my life. I'm going to miss some things, but man, once we get in glory, it's not going to matter. That we would be those people to say they died for their faith. We miss them, but man, what a testimony they have. That's what these are. And actually, these souls that John is seeing under the altar are tribulation saints, if you will, those that died within the tribulation, and they're there under the altar, and this is significant. As Jesus, I mean, I don't know how John sees a soul. I mean, you're a sweet soul, you're a good soul. I don't see your soul, but John is able to see somehow in the spiritual realm the souls of those who have died. And as he sees them, notice the place that they are. They're under the altar. If you're with us on Wednesdays for our Wednesday night Bible study, we're going through the book of Leviticus, and that's always fun. But we see time and time again the sacrificial system in Leviticus in the Old Testament was an animal was to die, the blood was sprinkled on the horns of the altar, the blood of the animal was poured out at the base of the altar. My friends, this is Old Testament imagery found in Revelation chapter 6, that those souls that are there under the altar are those who have given their life, poured out their blood for God. What an amazing thing that God has this picture of us pouring out our lives for him. Here in Revelation, these lives were given sacrificially for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul alludes to this, and I want to put Philippians chapter 2, verse 17 up. Paul says it this way. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. The mentality the Apostle Paul had is, my life belongs to Jesus, and I'm going to do everything in my power to give my life to the gospel and to help other people come to faith. How strong is your faith? What kind of impact is your faith having on the person sitting next to you, or the person sitting next to you at work, or the person sitting next to you on a bus, wherever it is your life making an impact? The Apostle Paul said, I'm glad to pour out my life for you. That's an amazing mentality, to pour out an offering. Did you wake up this morning and think, I don't know if I can make it through another day? Did you? Maybe not on Sunday mornings. Maybe you're excited to come to church. Okay, tomorrow morning. When you wake up to go to work, oh, I don't want to go to work. So hard. I got to go there and do that. All that project's due, or I got to make that phone call. I don't want to make that phone. Is it one of those things where you're just stressed out, tired? We all carry so much stress. We all carry so much responsibility in this world. We get overwhelmed very quickly. I mean, how many of us want to go on a vacation? How many of us want to take a month off? How many want us to say, clock, stop ticking? But it keeps ticking, doesn't it? We want to take a break. But guys, we're Christians. And whether we take a vacation or we take a break, we don't stop being Christian, do we? Oh, we might stop the work. That'll be good. But we're always Christians. And I wonder, do we have the heart as Paul to be poured out every single day? Listen to me. Every single day, you have to say to the Lord, God, I am willing to do whatever you want for me today. Every single day. Otherwise, you're going to be, I don't want to go to work. Instead of waking up saying, God, I don't want to go to work. You can be honest with God. He knows. I don't want to go there. But God, I want to be used by you. God, use me. Put something in me. Use me some way today. Lord, equip me for every single task that I'm going to have to experience today. God, prepare me for every challenge that will come up in my day. And God, enable me to help others. To be that person that's looking for opportunities. Our pastor's prayer this morning was, Lord, help us to see the needs in the ministry so that we can help you meet them. We go through life sometimes like this. I just want to get to 5 o'clock. I just want to check out. No, guys, our life is precious. This may be the last moment that you breathe today, and the opportunities will go away. Being poured out every single day. Listen, I've got a little illustration here, and I hope I don't make a mess. Can everybody see that? Paul the Apostle said, I'm pouring my life out. This is your life, okay? This is your life. You need to pour yourself out into the world. You're going to pray for somebody, okay? You're going to help somebody stranded on the side of the road. You're gonna call someone and encourage them in the Lord because you've been praying for them. When you get to the office, you're gonna talk to that person you don't like to talk to most of the time. You're pouring yourself out to the Lord. Are you getting this? You just keep pouring yourself out. What happens when you pour yourself out? You get empty. You get empty, okay? Who's this? This is somebody that's discouraged. Beginning of the day, they don't have much to give. They pour out a little bit. Before too long, they're empty too. And now they're discouraged, and now they're running on their own strength. Where the person that was filled with the Spirit, was filled with the power of God, was able to keep pouring out. Why? Because they'd prepared themselves to be poured out. When you get empty, what do? You got to get refilled, right? You got to get refilled. Listen to this. This is, where is it? In Psalm 91, actually, verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. You need to call upon God and believe that he will answer you. When you're empty, when you've poured yourself out all day long and you feel tired at the end of the day, you got to cry out to God, Lord, fill me up again. Lord, pour yourself into me. I wish I had a picture. Pour myself so that I get filled up again, Lord, so that I can keep pouring out. Paul didn't pour out of himself. He poured out of the Spirit that was in him. It says in Acts 1:8, put that up overhead. We see this one. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. The martyrs that we're looking at in Revelation, those who died for their faith, the word martyr means to witness. It's the same word as testimony. It's giving our testimony. And here he says, you're going to be witnesses to me when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I'm going to ask you this morning, have you asked for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life already today? Have you asked for God, fill me with your Holy Spirit? I got to be honest with you, I sometimes feel like before God, I'm a broken record. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. But you know what? To God, he's going, oh, I love when you ask me that, Rob. I love when you ask me that, because you know what? I'm going to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. And we see the power of the Spirit poured out upon us. So we need to get filled up so that we can keep pouring out. Are you feeling empty? Are you feeling dry? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Time to get away and be with God. Time to be filled back up so that you can pour out to others. The only way you can pour out to others is if you're being filled up by God. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced yourself empty and dry and warm, maybe for a season? It's like, God, I just don't feel effective anymore. God, I just don't feel like I care about anybody anymore. When you're empty and you're on your way to work or when you're going through life, you don't pay attention to anybody else. You're worried about, God, why do I feel so bad, God? Why do I feel so empty, God? Why am I so discouraged, God? And he's going, because you haven't asked me. Call upon me and I will help you. Let's hope I don't spill this today. It's bound to happen. Pouring out your life, maybe even unto death, is the greatest sacrifice we can give to God. Paul crucified his flesh and he gave his flesh to the Lord, or gave his body to the Lord to be used by him. These tribulation saints, those who had been slain, look at what it was, for the word of God and for the testimony. Listen, they weren't killed because they were carrying their Bibles around. They weren't killed because they were wearing a what would Jesus do bracelet around. They were killed because they were living the word of God. Okay? For the word of God was active in their life. They were sharing the word of God. They were displaying the word of God. So not only did they believe it and live it, they were actually displaying it in their lives for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. Man, I hope we would get to the place in our walk with the Lord that our testimonies would be displayed to others, that others would know that, boy, they're walking in the power of God. I don't know about you, but you can tell when somebody's walking in the Spirit or whether they're walking in the flesh, can't you? Come on, kids, you know your parents when they're walking in the flesh, don't you? Parents, you know when your kids aren't walking in the Spirit? Were you given the right hook of fellowship? That's my words. These saints gave their life. And it's a great reminder to us. Listen, we don't see it much in our country, but it's happening in the world. There are more martyrs today in this country, especially with ISIS on the scene, the things that we're seeing. We need to be ready, my friends. We need to be prepared. And it even says in Revelation that Jesus was the lamb who was slain. So they were following after their Savior, doing that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. If you go to Romans chapter 12, right in the first verse. Because let's face it, nobody's holding guns to our heads. Nobody's trying to kill us. At least I hope they're not. So in Romans chapter 12, right in the first two verses, we see a very powerful statement from the Apostle Paul. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, here it is, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or really act of worship. To be living sacrifices, dying to ourselves, living for God. In the same sense as being a martyr, every single day we can be those living sacrifices upon the altar of God, serving the Lord. And then notice the second verse says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be a living sacrifice, Paul says, and the only way you can do that is if you change the way you think. If you change the way you think. The moment you think you deserve something is the moment your mind has to change. I was coming from downtown Nashville on Friday, and I'm not kidding you, it became comical. I got behind the slowest people everywhere I went. Driving down a road, and I'm thinking, come on, dude, at least go the speed limit. Right? So I pass around them, okay? Go up there. Oh, there's a UPS car. I had to slow down. Then he got in front of me again, and I'm behind him again. Then I turn on another street, and another guy had to be 500 years old. I'm like, I was getting like, ha. Why am I telling you this story? Because I felt like I deserved to be in the faster lane. I felt like I deserved to get these people out of my way. And immediately, the transforming and the renewing of my mind said, God, you're in control of my life. You're putting these people in my way, so I will slow down for some reason. That's the transforming mind. So when we get frustrated, when we get in that place where we're going, oh, Lord, I don't understand why this is happening to me, we have to stop and go, because you're in control. I'm going to die to myself and my speedometer, and I'm going to rely on you, Lord. I'm going to just sit at the pace that you, if I start my day and say, organize myself, or equip me for the task, then when somebody gets in my way, I got to believe that's the Lord. I want to believe it's the enemy, but it's probably the Lord. We have to slow down. We have to trust in God. So we know where the place that these souls were. They're at the base of the altar. They're at a precious place where the blood was poured out. And we need to be in the right place for God every moment of every single day. Are you in the will of God? Are you walking in His will today? Are you in that right place? Is God using you? Is He preparing you for a purpose? Is it hard? Sometimes it is hard, guys. Sometimes the will of God is hard. And we'll see that as we get to the verse 11. But sometimes God's will can be difficult, but God equips us for what we need. So we see where they are. If we go back to Revelation chapter 6, we see the place that they are, but notice the prayer that they pray. They cry out with a loud voice. And what do they ask? How long? Do we ever pray a prayer like that? How long do I have to be in this situation, God? How long before I'm going to get married, God? How long before I'm going to move into a house, God? How long before I'm going to have a baby, God? How long? What's your how long? What is it you've been waiting a long time for? These saints, what is amazing to me, number one, is they knew who to ask. Okay, when you're in a bad situation or in a place you don't want to be, who do we ask? We got to ask God. How long, O Lord, he says, holy and true, which is so important to acknowledge the holiness and the faithfulness and truthfulness of God. Because when you come to God and ask for something, you got to realize that he can answer you. And that's what I loved about these saints. They're in under the altar and they're crying out, how long, Lord, before you're going to avenge our blood? How long before you're going to cast off judgment? They knew who the judge was. They were speaking to God and they're asking how long. We can get in this place so easily. But we need to realize that these saints said, it's in your timing, right? They didn't say, God, are you going to do it today? Or God, we want you to do it now. They just want to know how long. In Romans 12, verse 19, it says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Is there someone in your life that you're waiting for God to get? Why is that? Why is it when somebody hurts you or hurts someone you love, you're like, God, get them. Make them suffer. There's a couple people in my life that have hurt people that I love. And I really, with every ounce of my being in the flesh, want them to suffer for what they've done, for the wrongs that they've committed. But God is always gracious enough to remind me, do you want me to treat you that way? No, Lord. I want you to forgive me. I want you to be gracious to me. I want you to bless me. So, Lord, bless them too. So these souls that are under the altar aren't asking for revenge. They're asking for justice. And that's what we want, my friends. We want justice to be done. God will not allow the scales to be unbalanced in the end. He will repay. He will straighten things out. It will all be fair. And I believe with all of our hearts, we'll be going, you are so faithful, God. You are so just, Lord. What you did was perfect. I would have done it differently, but what you did is perfect, God. Let's be real, right? Let's be real. Because what we want is not always what God wants. But we are going to stand before him one day and realize he's right, he's just. And we need to ask for that forgiveness for others. It's hard for us to wait on God's judgment. We want revenge and we want it today. But let's not forget what Jesus said upon the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Let's not forget when Stephen was being stoned to death for his faith. He said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Whew, gosh, these are great reminders for us to be godly. I think of the death of Lazarus, his sisters sending word to Jesus, the one you love is sick, come heal them. What's Jesus do? He waits a couple days. What? Lord, don't you love them? Yes, I do. You realize God's delays are God's displays of his love? God's delays in your life are displays of his love. If we get what we want when we want it, that's bad news. We have to be patient. We have to wait. And when Jesus finally does come to the sisters, and what do both of them say to him? Lord, if only you were here sooner. God, your timing is terrible. And he's like, oh, you silly women. You silly girls. Guys, when God delays an answer to one of your prayers or one of your situations, it's because he wants to show you an aspect of himself that you have never realized. Right? He delayed 2 days to show these girls that I can raise the dead. So better than coming right away and healing a sick man, Jesus waits a little while, heals and raises a dead man. Does that increase their faith? I would think. Does your faith get increased when God answers it finally and in a powerful way? We all ask this. Lord, you could have stopped that from happening. There's things that happened in my life that are happening in my life. There's things that are going on in your life, and we can all go, God, you could have stopped that. You could have kept that from happening. He could have stopped Lazarus from being dead, but he wanted to display his power in a powerful way. Listen to me. Jesus could have kept Lazarus from dying. Jesus could have kept the storm from coming on the Sea of Galilee with a little boat filled with his disciples. He could have kept the storm from coming. But no, he sat there and he allowed the storm to come so that they would depend on him. The storms in your life, the difficulties in your life are causing you to rely on God and to say, Lord, your timing is perfect. You can still ask the question, how long am I going to have to wait, Lord? How long am I going to have to wait? Is it worth it to you to wait a week, a year, years, if God displays a characteristic of himself that you didn't even know it existed? I believe it is. Sometimes he doesn't answer when we want, but he wants us to see a side of him we've never seen before. We believe he can do it. We trust that he will do it. And when he does do it, God help us to thank him. God, help us to thank him for finally doing it. How long? How long is too long for God to get the most glory in your life? Think about that for a minute. What a testimony it will be that you've been faithful in a long period of time and then God gets the answer and he gets all the glory. What a testimony it'll be. What is it you're waiting for? What is it you're praying that, and God, do it, that you've been waiting a long, long time? What is it? Maybe the answer is the same answer that he gives to these. In verse 11, it says, then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer. Maybe the answer to your questions, the things that you're waiting for, is the same one here, and it's a little while longer. Do you realize your life is like a blip compared to eternity? I mean, I don't care how old you are. Who's the oldest guy in here? Don't raise your hand. Oh, you did raise your hand. Okay. 60-some years of life versus eternity. It's just a blip. When Jesus says to these souls that have died, that are sitting on the other, when he says, just a little while longer, they're in the tribulation period. Probably the last half of the tribulation period. For at the longest, they got to wait 3.5 years. It's a little while longer compared to eternity, my friends. We need to trust that not only have we seen the place that they are, that we see the prayer that they pray, but we see the prize that they receive. Did you see it? Did you miss it? Verse 11. And then a white robe was given to each of them. They were clothed in a white garment. It's righteousness. It's holiness. God's giving them a picture of robe of righteousness, a sign of blessedness to the saints. Blessed are you. And don't miss it, my friends. He says, rest a little while longer. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, Bible tells us. And these saints that died are resting in heaven. Our loved ones that are in heaven are resting. No matter what kind of struggles, no matter what kind of difficulties they went through in this world, they are resting in Jesus. They're resting in the arms of their Savior. And what I love about this is saying, I don't care how long it is, you just keep resting a little longer. Enjoy your lazy boy chairs that your wife won't let you have in your living room. Kick back, enjoy the rest a little while. It's not, he didn't say, suffer a little while longer. Come on, hold on, guys. He says, rest just a little while longer. I don't know about you, but when I think about heaven and a place that we rest in, that encourages my spirit. But I think we should be resting here today. We should be resting in the truth of who God is. Don't forget that Jesus said to the dead church, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. We just need to be overcomers to the pressures of this world, the stresses of this world, the difficulty and the responsibilities of this world, and endure. In this world, we will face tribulation. And so when bad things happen to us, we shouldn't ask why, God. Do you not love us, God? Yes, he loves us. I think he thinks a lot more about who we are than we think of ourselves. You know, when it says don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, I don't. But God seems to. God, why do you give me all these trials? Because I think you can endure them. I can't endure them, but I've given you the Holy Spirit to endure them. Resting in God. Listen to me, please, this one last thing. No matter how hard life may be, no matter how much hurt you've endured through the loss of loved ones, loss of friendships, loss of health, or maybe business and money, all these things that we lose, there is a day coming when you will be resting in the arms of Jesus. And all that loss, you won't even remember it anymore. All the loss that you've experienced in this world, you're not going to remember anymore when you're looking into the eyes of Jesus. And you're looking at the face of your Savior. And he says, enter into your rest. Well done, good and faithful servant. A little suffering here is going to be worth the joy and the blessing there. Rest in Jesus this week. As we look at these tribulation saints, as we look at those souls that died, gave their lives for their faith because they believed in Jesus, and we see what they do. They were in the right place, they prayed the right prayer, and they received the right prize, that white robe. Let him fill you up, and let him use you this week. Think about that. Rest in him. Rest in what he's going to do. When somebody slow gets in front of you in traffic, take it as a sign. Some of you are going to be mad at me when you get stuck in traffic this week. And here's the reality of it. In this world, where we are at today, where our world is today, I don't think it's going to be that much longer anyway. Only a little while longer, and I believe Jesus is coming back. Let's be on fire for God. Let's be filled up with him, with the power of his Holy Spirit. Every morning, wake up. God, equip me for the day. Give me your Holy Spirit. Use me, Lord. Help me not to have tunnel vision on the things that I want to do. Let me see the opportunities that you want for me. Can we do that? Let's do that. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the souls, Lord, that you remind us here in the fifth seal. That died for their faith. Lord, sometimes comparatively we might look at our lives and say, well, I didn't suffer unto death. But you did, Lord. And we want your death and your resurrection to display power and meaning in our lives. God, I pray for this church. I pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that you would fill us to the brim, Lord, that as we go throughout our day and pour ourselves out to others, touching others, Lord, just encouraging others, I pray, Lord, that we would be as blessed as you are by the works of our hands. Enable us, Lord, empower us throughout this week. There's things that are going on in our lives. There's things that we're asking you to do. There's difficulties. There's needs. But let us believe that if you ask of me, I will answer. God, I pray that we would ask this week, that the answers would come, and that you would receive all the glory. We love you, Lord. Bless the rest of our day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.